Tasty, flavorful coffee comes from thriving farms. However, long-held industry standards leave most farmers scraping by, severely limiting their ability to grow quality coffee. But together, we can change that. Our direct-from-farm sourcing eliminates the many layers usually found between the farmer and you. This results in prosperous farms with the capacity to grow exceptional coffee. And great coffee is what makes all our days brighter. We invite you to be a part of a coffee movement where everyone is lifted. Joe Bean, coffee that lifts everyone.
There might be a plant that you love that just won't work in your house, yeah. Right? But I like what you said about plants modeling relationships. I was thinking about this. You know, if you're trying to develop a relationship, you got to give both people room to lean into it, yeah. Right? Right. And if you're just always like on them and on them and on them, it smothers it. And that's yeah. The way the plants seem to be a lot like that.
Yeah, for sure, sure.
Live from Rochester, welcome to a special live episode of Plants and Beats.
Thank you.
to a special live episode of Plants and Beats, a podcast dedicated to peace, wellness, and lo-fi music, mixed by Alo-Fi. Thank you.
Yeah, you've got the, you know, plant community, you've got the photography community, you have the coffee community. Yeah, there's so many
coffee community.
Yeah, there's
huge,
so many
right?
so many cool communities happening at the same time. And I think it's about you know, just the, I guess to throw in a plant metaphor, like you just want to, you know, water folks to become great, you know, like you just, how do I help keep this alive? Like, how do I keep this moving? How do I keep this going? Yeah. And really, like, you can't grow, you can't blossom without having, you know, someone helping to care for you. And it doesn't really, you know, cost you much. You know, it can cost just a, hey, that's a great shot, or hey, that's a, you know, that, you know, I'm going to pop in this coffee shop I've never been to, or hey, I'm going to come into a new business and just, you know, maybe buy a sticker, right? Like, yeah, something small. And then, you know, telling someone about that place, and you know, they go into that space and they support, you know. Yeah. So I think that's the beauty of it, you know. And I think we grow when we, like me personally, yeah, I grow when I give my energy to other people and other things and watch them grow.
Yeah. So similarly, we have both lived in some big cities outside of Rochester. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about some of the similarities, but a lot of the things that are not so similar. So you lived in D.C.
I lived in D.C., yeah, 4 years,
right?
5 years.
How different is it here than the type of community you see in a bigger city?
I think the beauty of Rochester is you can reach out and touch community, where D.C., there's you know, so many segments of community, right? So you have people that are living there because they're connected to some political party, or some, you know, someone that's in office for a certain amount of time, or they're there because they're, you know, there's some sort of school connection, some other connection, and, you know, people kind of come and go. And I mean, Rochester is the same, right? We have colleges and things around, but a lot of those folks end up staying because something happens. You know, they meet someone here, you know, they fall in love, whether it's with a person or a community or something. They have a good cup of coffee and they're like, I'm gonna stay, or they find something that keeps them grounded. And DC was, I love DC, like, you know, there was always something to do, but you know, you can reach out and touch community here. You can, yeah, you know, like, you look around the room right now, like, you know, how I'm connected to each person is through someone else. And now we've created, you know, a community amongst this group, and then they'll bring in someone else, and then you get more and more create. And then also, you, like, there's so many cool things in DC that are happening on this, like, major level.
Yeah.
Like, you know, here's the cherry blossoms. We have the Lilac Festival here, and you can get a little bit closer to it, and you don't feel as congested. You know, there's so many examples of things like that.
Yeah. So, question. I often say that I had a plant phase after the pandemic, where I had 20, 30 house plants. Then I had a kid. Now I got like 3 house plants. Because I'm taking care of the kid, right? So I know you got 2 young ones.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that about the plant. So I've had this plant, the money tree, right?
Oh,
so
that's a hard one.
Right, so I've had it for years. My wife bought it for me for Father's Day 1 year, and I was like, why'd you bring that thing in this house? I'm superstitious. If I kill that money tree, I'm going to be broke for the rest of my life.
Right?
Like, that's
tree.
Like, you know, there's not a lot of things I'm superstitious about, but that money tree, I'm like, if it has no, you know, leaves on it, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And so the twins started to like shake it, and the leaves are falling, and I'm like, I got to check my bank account, make sure everything's okay. So last week I moved it. I had to move it because, you know, there were a couple things that, you know, I had to get new brakes on the car. I had to go do something. And I said, it's that damn money tree,
yeah,
that them
man.
Boys keep bothering. So I don't know what the secret
some classic
is. But
dad, yeah, stuff right there.
So we've moved it to a safer spot until, you know, my bank account recoups.
I hear that. So Matt, I put out the call looking for plant parents for this episode, and out of all the people that responded, I'm like, okay, yeah, I want to talk to Matt. So tell us, first tell us a little bit about yourself, man. People know Q, so I'm not going to go into his story. But how would you describe yourself? Buddy photographer, bicyclist?
I'm Rochester local, right?
Okay.
Born and raised Rochester. People that know me, like what you know of me, trying photography, kind of reaching out, doing stuff. People have known me for a long time. This is not my whole life story, right? This is not normal for me. This is not how I lived. Roster has all this community, but I wasn't part of it. So this experience with Behind the Glass, and that idea to, I wanted to have a feel for the pieces I had there of like how signs and stuff in the community look, because I always liked that kind of street art feel, but I couldn't make it work for that at that time. Then I had the idea of, well, why don't I just make this stuff and put it out there and let the community do what it wants with it, which has been really cool. And then that is starting to turn into a more intentional kind of collaboration with other people, and it's been amazing. I don't know if you guys appreciate this as people that connect and do this, that how available those connections are and how eager people are to do stuff with each other. It's really, for someone like me who's lived 47 years without doing it, it's really been a life-changing experience.
It's amazing. And if you, just for some background, so Matt takes his photography and he mounts it on everyday street signs that you see. So stop signs, caution signs, and they pop up around the city. And it's something really cool that came out of an idea for the show you were in at Behind the Glass, where we wanted to do found frames, so to speak.
There were when we left that class where he came up with the name Found Frames, and around the corner there were street signs laying on the ground that had been there the whole time we had been doing the class, and that's when it clicked into my head to do that.
I mean, it's really awesome, and what you've done with it now as far as trying to integrate with other artists like No Fun Zone.
Yep.
Got a collaboration piece with her. It's just been, I mean, you went from entering the community to being a part of building it now.
It's pretty exciting. It's cool.
Yeah.
It feels good, doesn't it? Like, and I know for me, as somebody who was, I had a desperation for it when I was younger, and it took me a long time to find it. But when you take that step back and you look at it, you're like, oh yeah, this has made my life better. Yeah. I feel better trying to do things together. It is a great feeling.
It is. It's really funny because there's a part of me inside that still throws up in its mouth a little bit whenever I talk about it. But being vulnerable it's always been rewarding. It's always turned into something better.
I think that imposter syndrome or that nervousness, everybody talks about it. Not everybody. But.
Yeah, I feel like it.
If somebody doesn't, I don't think they're self-aware.
I got my man Narada here doing the photos. Let's just say he's confident.
Got it. Right.
In his abilities. And he's awesome too. Let me give him a shout out. Right. So you're a plant parent.
Yeah.
How many plants you got?
Oh man, I don't know. Inside, outside.
How many?
Well, so I moved into a house last year, and it's like corner lot, south facing, like sun all the time. And I've been gardening for a few years, and so I immediately went to work. I've got outside. I have four plums, four cherries, a dozen apples. Raspberries, blueberries, just constantly digging holes, which has been really cool for the neighborhood because people stop by. Like, I love what you're doing with the place. Gives us something to talk about. It's mostly like your episode about an aster. I have this epic New England aster, so it's mostly native stuff. So the pollinators love it. It's a really cool scene. Inside, I've got all kinds of stuff. And I don't know what half the stuff is called, but it's all stuff that the house gets good light. If I water it once a week, it thrives, and we all get along great. I killed a lot of stuff. I killed almost everything. I killed was from giving it too much attention. But the stuff that has thrived, like, we're just on the same routine, and it's great. It makes the house home.
We've been scratching the surface on some of that right today.
For sure.
We talked to Corinne. We talked about how relationships with taking care of plants kind of model your relationships with people. And the older you get, the better you become at the give and take between attention. And then the last person we talked to, Chris Whitmire, said, hey, sometimes your house just not getting enough light.
Right.
There ain't nothing you can
that's
do.
Part of it, yeah.
So you said your house gets great light.
Yeah, and you have to get like there might be a plant that you love that just won't work in your house, right? But I like what you said about plants modeling relationships. I was thinking about this. You know, if you're if you're trying to develop a relationship, you got to give both people room to lean into it, yeah. right? right. And if you're just always like on them and on them and on them, it smothers it. And that's yeah. the way the plants seem to be a lot like that.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's like that point is a really great point because, you know, you may want to build a connection with someone, right? And you want them to be like a plant in your house, but it just doesn't work, right? It doesn't right. work because the lighting's not right. You're not able to give that yeah. same attention. Doesn't mean that, you know, it's personal. It's just, right. it doesn't work in your orb. Yeah. But then there are the ones where it's like, hey, I can check in on you once a week yeah. and just make sure you're good. And that's all you need.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, I think that's a really good connection, you know, yeah. between that, the relationship of plants, relationship of, that's why I love that money tree. And there's another one that I have that I could be away for 2-3 weeks and the plant yeah. still continues to blossom. And I think of, you know, I think of that as like one of my really good friends out of state. We just mm-hmm. send reels back and forth to each other. Right. And then every so often we have a real conversation. Yeah. So, you know, I look over and see that the plant's there. Oh, you're good. Okay. I'll come back to yeah. you.
And if it's not working, you can't start following her home from work. Or showing up his house every day, you go to jail.
Can you stalk plants?
Different people require different things.
Yeah, for
different
sure.
Connections require different amount of attention. Like I said, the older you get, the more mm-hmm. you understand those kind of things. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You got any plants?
I have the two. So I have, there's the money tree. And then I don't even know what the plant is called, but I went into a shop once and I said, give me a plant, that requires very little attention, not a ton of light, and won't die on me in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I forgot what they gave to me and it continues to thrive. I've had it for 3 years. And you know, it's kind of gone through its seasons of, okay, it looks great, doesn't look great. And it all depends. And I put it in a spot where it had too much sun and it was like, whoa, whoa,
yeah.
whoa,
yeah.
this isn't for me. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, let me modify. And again, that's like a relationship, right? Let me modify that relationship. Maybe, you know, you don't need that much
Let's
attention.
Let's calm things yeah. down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, can you go to, and it's like, you know, right. like what's going on here? You're giving me, because it was initially in an office. And so, like, you know, the office had very little light. And then all of a sudden I'm popping in a window and they're like, that's not how this relationship started.
Hey, Q, that's right? sun bombing. You yeah, don't yeah. want to do that. That's toxic, man. That's toxic. Yeah.
So one thing we haven't talked about today is the beats part of it. Q, I know you, we send hip hop stuff back mm-hmm. and forth to each other all the time. But you used to, for a minute, you used to photograph concerts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it was kind of a thing. Like me and a friend of mine started a blog like a long, long time ago. Like when blogs were the thing, everybody yeah. had a blog.
Yeah.
Back when it was like Two Dope Boys and a couple mm-hmm. other those like very popular hip hop blogs.
Fake Short Drive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All that.
And so we started a blog, and so we just started going to like indie shows, and then those indie shows became going to Brooklyn every year to the Brooklyn Hip Hop Fest, and you know, we would pop up with our cameras and we would just take photos. And it was like 1 year we got a press pass. We thought we were really cool. Like, oh man, we got this press pass. But the press pass was lame because they kind of put you in this restricted area. And I really enjoy like the candids, the crowd shots, the, you know, you're in New York City, everyone's wearing some sort of a jersey. Like those are some really cool shots while, you know, someone's in the background. And kind of similar to the way I take photographs now. Everyone's looking at the stage. I'm looking to yeah. the left or the right of the stage. What else is going on? And one of those moments was, you know, like someone was on stage and I saw here's, you know, a Maybach pull up. And I'm like, that's kind of odd for like the Brooklyn Hip Hop Fest. And there's Kanye West. So I get like these. This is Kanye before the current Kanye.
The old Kanye.
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, this is before the you know, the airport scene and with Stacey Dash and things. I feel like things really fell apart right there, which is fitting for the name of that song.
All falls down.
Yeah, 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 for sure. But I used to photograph these shows, and so like Q-Tip on stage, and like, you know, they're back together, A Tribe Called Quest, and then they bring Leaders of the New School on with Busta Rhymes, and there's like these incredible shots. And Busta Rhymes is probably one of the hardest people to photograph because he doesn't stay still. Like he's all over the place, and there's so many. And I at some point need to share some of these pictures again, but like there's so much emotion in his face. And there was this moment where Slick Rick came on stage with him and they bring out this other guy who brings out like all of this gold because Busta Rhymes needs to meet the same level of the gold that Slick Rick. And so I've got this photo of no gold. So like all of a sudden he's got like this Mr. T look. Yeah. So that was like a, just a cool thing. And a lot of that stuff is kind of transitioned over to still how I take photographs today. Candid moments, looking at like, you know, funky little details, taking a photo that maybe no one else is thinking about taking. Yeah. Like, we're all going to take a photo of the person on stage, but, you know, a close-up on their hand, a microphone, a close-up on, you know, someone enjoying the show, things like that.
Yeah. It's interesting because one of the things about my idea when I first had it was that juxtaposition of hip-hop and plants. Mm-hmm. And you might not think those two things go together, but it's like, you know,
it's all about the vibes,
right?
Yeah. It's all about the vibes.
It's all about
between
the vibes,
both.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. So, Matt, what you got planned for your birthday, man?
Nothing. This.
I thought this was it, right?
Yeah. This is happy the birthday.
This is the party.
Point carrying on.
Here comes the cake, guys.
After this, yeah. Comes the cake. Normal stuff. Yeah.
Nice. Yep. Are you brave enough to share what birthday it is? Or you just want to keep
48.
48.
That's a blessing, man.
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
Right behind you. Right behind you.
Yeah. It's not bad, right?
No.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
So before we get out of here, any care tips you can give the audience to either your outdoor stuff, your indoor stuff?
My experience, just don't overwater. Like, too much attention. That is really the biggest mistake I think you can make.
Is overwater.
Yeah, get them a good spot, and then don't overwater, and they'll do all right. Yeah.
By the way, Q, try ice cubes on the money tree.
Yeah.
Ice cubes.
Because they melt slow as far as that water.
And keep two-year-olds away from it.
That's the better tip, right?
And you also might want to look into, I've heard there's some music around the name, too. You might want to check it out.
Yeah.
Well, thank both of y'all for coming on and talking. It was a great conversation, as I thought. Any last words?
No, just community over competition.
That's right. All right, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you, Rob. Yep. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hanson Beats is produced by Rob Bell with music by Alofar. Subscribe to stay updated and follow Rob Bell and Alofar on social media. The information is in the show description.